And when you get close to something so holy, you kind of realize that even me, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your Holy Spirit, even us, your little flock right here in Culpeper, Lord. Just lead us this morning in our thoughts and speak to us. Help us to see who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity. And the root word for that is singleness. The simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, even another Jesus, they even use the name, another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, they even call it the gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. And so, like, this is, he's talking about straight up heresy, right? Straight up heresy. When straight up heresy comes into the church, and in this case, in the form of legalism, don't put up with it. And any other issues in the church, the pastors and elders can decide those. But heresy, you don't put up with it. So there's been a story circulating about a guy in a local church. I don't know him. I know people that probably go to that church. It seems solid. I've heard of him. He seems like he loves God. He's solid. He's got a criminal record, and they put him in a leadership position. Is that heresy? No, no. But lots and lots of opinions and critical and gossip and even slander, saying he's doing things that he shouldn't be doing, that he's not doing. I was thinking, if King David lived today, 3/4 of Israel who followed Absalom would be on social media blasting him along with the world. They'd be joining the Philistines and the Amalekites and everyone else. What would they be saying? He's a murdering adulterer. He's not qualified to lead. They would be saying, he did not punish Amnon for raping Tamar. He doesn't deserve to lead. They would not be saying, what do you want, God? Did you call him? They're not saying this. They'd be on social media blasting him. But God did call David to lead. And the small group that followed him in his weakness as he was chased out, and, you know, Absalom went up on the roof and did his stuff, the small group that followed David had taken the plank out of their own eye to be able to help David, right? And Moses, a shepherd, a pastor, was a murderer. David, a king, a leader. Paul, too, an apostle, murderers. And they wrote a large portion of the Bible. So if you got a problem with God calling sinners, then maybe you don't believe in the Bible. And everyone's a sinner, right? Even me. Paul said, I am chief among sinners. And think about it. If humans without inspiration by the Holy Spirit had written the Bible, they would have left out the fallen nature of the leaders, of the heroes. They wouldn't have shown how they fell. And my point, I guess, just in this, it's a little aside, just don't gossip about other churches. And don't be critical. Their elders are under a double judgment. They got enough to deal with. And don't assume, you know, like pray. Like ask, what does God want? Even if something were to happen in this church, don't assume, you know. Ask what God wants. And if someone with a different gospel That's an entirely different story, right? This is heresy. We don't put up with it. Where the singleness, the focus, is not Christ. We point to Christ. We point to Christ. Like, I should be up here and say, look, there's Jesus. Right? And you should be saying that to each other. Look, there's Jesus. Not look at me or look at you, but look, there's Jesus. And Romans, what is the gospel anyway? Is it a different gospel? So what is, we need to know what the gospel is, know what a different gospel is. It's the power of God to be saved. And then that begs the question, what do we need to be saved from? Sin. There are actually churches that are probably preaching a different gospel that never mention sin. They never mention the cross. You think about this, like if people could be good enough just to be good, and that's the gospel that he came, this is the gospel, that he just came to show us the way. Why did he need a cross? The way is the cross. Yeah, he did come to show us the way. You know, what did Jesus do? And then, obviously, he died. He was buried on a cross. And he died, why did he die? For our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You know, there are some people that don't believe. They have another gospel. They don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe he rose again. And that's not just the Muslims. That's, I think, Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, they have a different gospel. Salvation and sins is part of the gospel. And the gospel involves the cross. The different gospel. Think of the different gospels out there. And it doesn't have to be LDS or JW. It could be somebody just preaching good works. I actually went to a meeting, I think Mason invited me. I don't know. I think it was, I can't remember if the Gideons, it was something else like that. But anyway, it was a group of pastors, and I sat next to this pastor. And it was all about goodness, just being good. Like, the whole message was just be good. And the more we talked, I thought, he doesn't believe in the same Jesus I believe in. You know, like, this is different. And a different spirit. A different spirit is one that causes us to look somewhere else other than Jesus, right? The simplicity, the singleness of Jesus, a different spirit would cause us to look at something else. Emphasizes behavior or myself or other people instead of Christ, who died for our sin in faith, working through love. And simplicity, this word, it means, it comes from a word for singleness, which also is related to pureness or cleanness. I was thinking about simply water. I have a glass of water. So you can make Kool-Aid, right? Or tea, and it's got water in it. Like, I'm drinking water, I'm drinking tea. But it's not simply water. It's not just water, right? With no impurities. Or simply Christ. Or simply cereal with no sugar, just cereal. So it would just be like simply oatmeal or something. But simply Christ sounds like something you'd find in the organic section, right? But at the same time, doesn't it sound really good? And it is so true. And that word or that terminology could be something that somebody uses to say something different. You can use words and start on a different message, right? Simply, Christ came to show us the way, which he did. He came from heaven to earth to show us the way, right? He came to show us the way. But without a cross, there's no way. You know, they can be saying simply Christ and what did Jesus do, and without saying, or what would Jesus do without saying what did Jesus do, you know? So, like, we need to be careful of slogans or just buzzwords without, like, really thinking what is behind this. Is this simply Christ? And we think about simply cereal. Isn't that something they would put on some cereal that's, like, orange and red and green with lots of cartoon characters on it with lots of sugar, and it's simply cereal? So mom would be like, oh, that's good stuff. And the kid would be like, yeah, that is good stuff. You know, like we need to be aware of a different spirit that isn't simply Christ. Even if it says it's simply Christ, even if they say we're a Bible-believing, Christ-centered church, they could say those words and not be. They can preach about love and not have love. They can, you know what I'm saying? Like, just, or simply gas with no ethanol, you know, for your lawnmowers. But simply Christ is what we need. No ethanol. No ethanol. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if somebody says there's some other way about what you do, about good works, about some other way, even if they have a different Jesus and they call it a different gospel, they use those buzzwords. If it's not Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, you can't get to the Father. Colossians 2:6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, so walk you in him. And in Jesus, in our walk. We need grace in our walk. John 15, the parable of the vine and the branches. It's simple. He's the vine. We're the branches. It's simple. He's our source. There's no other source. There's no other source of life for us other than Jesus. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand. What kind of faith? Complicated faith? No, simple faith. Like a little child, we understand. And we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. It's simple faith, like a little child. And I heard this slogan, and I love it. I think Pastor Shabelli said it. And he dealt with a lot of, like, blatant. There's, like, white witchcraft, which is New Age and very evil undercurrent and comes in the form of goodness and smiles. But in Africa, they encountered a lot of, like black magic, like, in your face. And he actually said there was a witch levitating, and the atmosphere was, like, so weird. And he just began to quote scripture. He didn't know what scriptures he was quoting. And then it landed and left. And he said, simple faith defeats sophisticated darkness. You know? And it's not Jesus plus something. There's a singleness, an uncontaminated purity in Jesus. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And so how did the serpent deceived Eve? Said he was more subtle. He was subtle, right? So he might not come for deception purposes, with a pitchfork and horns and a red tail. You know, like he might not come. And I'm using that as an analogy for just like blatant, like, I'm evil. He's not deceiving anybody that way. Unless he comes as a little trick-or-treater and they mock and they say, there is no evil. then that's deceptive, right? But he might not come just like blatantly. He's subtle. Maybe he'll come in poetry, like some art form, something that it starts off as beautiful, but the end goal is something else. The subtlety of deception, maybe a thought being repeated over and over and over and over, just a little thought over and over, with a lot of truth to it, but this little thought is just repeated over and over. And you'll find this in movies, in series, in social media, the news, books, and also the subtlety. You start off very wholesome. Anybody ever started a series or a movie? It starts off, it's really good, and it piques your curiosity, and you're really interested in it, and then all of a sudden it just starts twisting very slowly. And you want to keep watching it because you're curious what's going to happen, but they keep feeding this stuff in very subtly until it's not so subtle. But it starts off subtle. Maybe he'll come with a check in his hand. There's some money attached to it, right? Chasing the dollar. And just something to get our mind off of Christ, the simplicity of Christ. Maybe you can be a part of his group. He's got a group that you feel good emotionally. And on the internet, maybe. People will give you likes. Or maybe a real group. And you feel good emotionally. And so I'm going to do a little aside here. It's an aside on groups. It has nothing to do with serpent deceiving Eve. It's actually the opposite. We are the body of Christ, right? His local assembly, his church, his little flock. And one of the things that attracts people and that they know we are Christians, we were actually singing this old 60s or 70s song that Stephanie had sung at her wedding. They will know we are Christians by our love. Yeah, they will know we are Christians by our love. And it's in the Bible. Like, they'll know we're Christians by our love for one another. And our love for the least of these. Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. So they see Jesus in that, right? People sense that. And they sense I'm loved too. I'm loved. But also the freedom. And I'm not saying, like, use freedom as an excuse. Like, have a conviction about showing up, have a conviction about tithing, have a conviction about reading your Bible, have a conviction about many things, right? I'm not talking about that, not having a conviction, but you don't have to. You're free. You're free to live in the world. You're free not to walk with God. You're free not to come to church. You're free to live however you want. You're free. But, you know, this freedom... I was thinking too, these tithe boxes in the back, why are they in the back and why aren't we passing a plate? It's because you're free. And we want you to know that. You're not forced to give anything. And I read this week and it really struck me. Jesus loved Judas. He washed his feet knowing he was going to betray him. And he loved Judas, and he leaves him free. Judas is free to love him back. Jesus is free not to betray him, right? He gave him that freedom, and he loved him to the end. You can love God, or you can reject God. We have that freedom. In our walk, we have that freedom. And this is Christ, and he gives us the freedom to fail, and then he gives us more grace when we approach. When we come back. And what does that do when we come back to him and he gives us grace that makes us love him even more? And with our freedom, we want to walk with him. We want to. But some groups will apply pressure to get you to conform. Where's the freedom? And in one way, God doesn't want us to conform on the outside. In one way, you know. He's interested in your inside. He's interested in your heart. We want Christ. It's simple. It's single. To transform us from the inside. We want him in our heart. We want him to affect us and not us to worry about what we are doing. But it's free. It flows from that. And we show up and we do. And we love unconditionally and we do. And with no expectation in return, like Christ loved Judas. Like when we see his love for us, we do. We don't always, because we have freedom too, right? But people see that we have the love. We're loved unconditionally, and we're loving unconditionally, and we're free. As the serpent deceived Eve subtly, maybe a person who others are following, a person that doesn't preach Christ and Christ crucified, maybe you can be deceived subtly by a person. And sometimes it's not somebody standing up here. Sometimes it is. But sometimes it's just your friend, you know? And how about a message or a church or something that subtly checks all the boxes, the correct boxes? Like we were just talking about on the outside. We want to be changed from the inside. The external boxes. A message is intellectual, exegetical, profoundly logical, like mine. You know, really good message. No. Like, we want that, right? But without the Holy Spirit, without the singleness of Christ, no, we don't want that, right? You can have it either way. Or a message that's charged and lively and inspiring and produces responses, results, like church attendance and tithing up. And maybe a church that has all the programs for youth, for young adults, for addictions, music ministry, a nursery. Legia used to want a nursery with a one-way mirror so she could nurse with, you know, like everything that would be cool, you know, like that. And we actually do want a lot of that. And maybe we will have most of that in God's time. Maybe we won't. Because God can use all of these things, but Satan could be in all those things too. Right? And we want the Holy Spirit. We want the presence of God. We want an anointing because the Holy Spirit testifies of Christ. He's always pointing to Christ. And without the Holy Spirit, do programs testify of Christ? Can a mosque have a youth program? A nursery, good food. Can a mosque do that? Sure. It's like this building. It's a tool. It's a facility to facilitate. But we can't be deceived by a building either. It's you. It's us. It's the people that are the body of Christ. I used to say that when we were meeting in the basement of a restaurant. It's not the building. It's the people. And I'm still saying that, meeting in a very nice building. It's not the building, it's the people, right? And it's so true. It's a great facility. And we pray maybe that the Spirit would draw young people. We pray maybe he would lead us in programs. But without Christ, without the singleness, we don't want it, actually. We don't want that. So it's not all these, but do we have humility? Like, we want humility, right? We want faith. He is our simple desire. He is our aim. And another subtle thing Satan does is tell you you're lost, and we can rebound in a moment. And come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy in time of need. And as being, there's another thing, drifting. drifting. This was spoken to a church that was drifting from the singleness of Christ, right? They had Christ, they had the apostles, and they were drifting over into Judaism, away from Christ, away from the singleness of Christ. They needed to be reminded of the simplicity in Christ. He's better than everything else. Jesus is better than the prophets, better than the angels, better than Moses, better than Levitical priesthood. And this was to the Hebrews. But whatever we got going on in our life, or any distractions or anything pulling away us away from the singleness of Christ, Jesus is better than that. He's better than anything you have. It's simple. He's the best. Nothing can compete with him or replace him. The one message, the one word, Jesus. And Jesus is the word, right? So if we're reading the word and it's not directing us to Jesus, then maybe our perception is off. Genesis 3, 1 to 6. The woman said, I'm sorry. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Did he really tell you that? Did he tell you that that woman or that man is not right for you? Like somebody dating or something? Did he really tell you that? Did God really tell you that anybody ever have this happen? That that movie is not right for you? You're like in the middle of the movie and the Holy Spirit's saying, "Hey, that's not right." And you're like, "But I'm curious." It's... Did he really say that? Maybe that wasn't the Holy Spirit. Did God really say that to you? Did he really fill in the blank? And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Maybe he tells you, okay, even if God did say that, what's the harm? What harm? It's not going to kill you. Sin produces death, though, right? He says, "You'll be all right. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." All this is like other messages that could come off of these. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So Eve saw that the tree was good for food. She perceived that, right? She looked, and she made a judgment call. She perceived that the tree was good for food. Did she actually see that the tree was good for food? No, because it wasn't good for food, right? She perceived that the tree was good for food. This is Matthew 6:22. The lamp of the body is the eye. The eye is a lamp, and it lights your whole body. If, therefore, your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. So good eyes not only see well, they perceive well, right? So Eve looks, she sees the fruit on the tree, and then she could perceive, no, that's not good for food, because God said that's not good for food. But she looked, and she saw it was good for food. She perceived it was good when it wasn't, right? So, like, I can have 20/20 vision, but I can't see the deer right there in the brush in front of me, right? Like, you don't perceive it. It's right there, but you don't see it. And what we see is very important, and we should be gazing at something. We should not be gazing at something that's bad. So what we see is important, right? And like, so what... Eve could have been looking at all the other beautiful fruit in the garden. All these beautiful fruit trees to eat. Let me taste this one. Let me taste this one. So what was she looking at? It's, you know, gazing at. But how we perceive can determine what we will look at, too. We perceive it's desirable. We keep looking at it, like Eve. I'm sure everybody's heard this new song out. There's a new song. Oh, yeah. Did we? When's your birthday, Keith? Was it today? We forgot to sing happy birthday to Keith. Somebody forgot to lead us in that. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Keith. Happy birthday to you. Woo. So this new song, I'm sure you may have heard it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So like think about that though. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his beautiful face, and the things of earth grow strangely dim. So we're not even perceiving them, right? They're like not important. They're dim. In the light of his glory, we see how his glory, and actually we see what a sinner we are, and then we're like, oh my goodness, even me, he loves even me. And his grace is like, wow. The earthly things grow strangely dim. Perception. We perceive them in their place. In relation to God Almighty, right? In relation to God, they're not important. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Bad eyes have bad perception. And light is an understanding. That's like illumination, enlightenment, or an understanding. So Satan comes as an angel of light in that context, like a false prophet. Why are you surprised that there'll be false prophets? Even Satan himself appears as an angel of light, as somebody good, somebody to help you, but not. And he gives a certain understanding, a perception that takes away from the simplicity that is in Christ, from the singleness of Christ, from the focus of Christ, and gets us to focus on something else. And as such, when you take away Christ as our focus, that's evil. That's darkness. And so, if therefore that light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Simple faith defeats sophisticated darkness. So if you ever find yourself in darkness because you've been gazing at the wrong stuff and focusing on the wrong thing, then trust Jesus. Simple faith defeats sophisticated darkness. Trust Jesus. And the perception is by faith. Faith in, it has an object, Jesus. It goes back to the simplicity that is in Christ. Our faith is in Jesus. And then I wrote this song down. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. His mercy is more than darkness, right? So simple faith, and we get mercy every morning. Anytime we come to him. But if our eyes are good, our whole person will be illuminated. If we're in a lighted room, we can see obstacles. We can see around. And we can move freely. But false light creates a great darkness. And what happens when you try walking in the darkness? You stub your toe. You stumble. I remember one time there was a piece of concrete. It was probably this high. And I didn't know it was there. And we were canoeing, and I was running back to get to the canoe, and I went, woo, just bam, right on my face. And it was dark. But just all the different things that can happen. You can walk into things and trip and stub your toe. You can start groping for something, for anything to hang on to, and not know what it is, right? Yeah, if we allow our eyes to linger on evil, how we perceive will be affected. And focus your perception on truth, whatever is good. Like this verse, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Babies are lovely. Where's Noelle? Is she not here? She's always showing her picture of a little Oliver, you know. And babies are lovely. She's focusing on that right now. But so turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor something that is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtue, or praiseworthy. Your kids are coming Tuesday. And how about the Bible? Psalm 119:130, the entrance of your word gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. Well, I'm like confused about everything, just the simple, just the childlike faith, just trusting Jesus, and all of a sudden we get light, we get an understanding. And we look at the Bible, we meditate on it, and we perceive the truth. And Eve saw that it was good for food, but she didn't really see it because it wasn't. She perceived it because of the way it looked. And she gave her attention to this one tree when there were all the other trees, right? So we have all the other things. There are other things. Like Richard Wurmbrand was in a prison cell and was praising God for the little spider, for God's creation. There's the sunshine. There's the rain. We can praise God for rain because it makes the grass go green. The grass is green. Anybody spent a long time out west? Like I went like for, I don't know, I was only out there like a week. Well, I guess with the whole ride and all, it was a couple weeks. It was winter time. And when I got back here, my eyes were like, wow. Green, that actually might not look that green, but that's green compared to out west. And I was like, this is so nice. You know, but there's so many things to be thankful for. And Eve, it was pleasant to her eyes, what I see, how I feel, my opinion. It looks good. Other gospels are so nice. They're so pleasant. Without that old cross and everything, I don't have to die to myself. I can work hard and work my way somewhere into the good graces of God. And I know I'm good enough. You know, other gospels, you know, like she saw it was good for food. You can see the other gospels are good, but the perception, Eve's perception was off. That was off. It was God's word, right? Jesus Christ is the simple, unadulterated truth. It's Jesus Christ. His word is perfect. There's no other way. There's no other walk. There's no other source. There's no other payment for sin. There's no other salvation. There's one way. So yeah, let's follow him. Let's follow Jesus. Let's pray. There's one way to have your sins forgiven. That's Jesus and the cross. 1 John 1:9. All the believers who are living in sin, just confess your sin to him. And he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If there's anybody who's never received him as their Savior, he died on the cross to pay for your sins. If he could have said, be good enough, he would have. But he knows we can't. He sent Jesus to die on a cross to pay for your sins. And just receive that payment in your heart. In your heart, just call out to God and say, I believe. And may we walk by faith this week. And may Dean walk by faith as he is with his kids. And just bless their time together. And may all of us going to Latvia walk by faith as we go through all the rigmarole and cattle of the airports and also with other believers and the lost, just to walk by faith and to keep you in our sights, Lord. And everybody here through the week, not just this week, but our life, but this week, that we could just trust you. Whatever we have going on, and we all live in a fallen world, and we all have a sin nature and a flesh, but that we just continually bring our focus back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.